Welcome to Phantom Island. My name is Stephen Godfrey. We have a brand new episode of Numbers and Words with Bill Connolly. It's about to start right now. We're going to talk about the quietest good SEC team. We're going to talk about the loudest good Big Ten team. These are not hard to guess, by the way. And then, of course, we're going to start the whole episode off by like wading through the MAC standings. So if you miss old PAPN, well, let me tell you, friend, I've got one that's grossly, disgustingly on brand for you. There will also be a lot of talk about quarterbacks, yards after contact, and we really do try and figure out the Big 12. Fool's errand, but we're a quarter of a way through the season, excuse me, and it's time to start figuring out if all those nine-month off-season opinions were worth anything. Hint, no. Special thanks to our friends at Homefield, as always. And if you want to listen to this entire show, go to phantomisland.show. phantomisland.show. Become a subscriber today. You can submit questions for certain programs like Single Wing. You can suggest topics for future Phantom Island episodes. All kinds of fun stuff. phantomisland.show. Be sure, if you enjoy this episode, to go and purchase Bill's brand new book. Okay? Brand new book. Also, he's going to ask you at the end of the show to leave a review if you haven't done that yet. Okay? So go Bill Connolly, Forward Progress. Forward Progress. One more time. You go to Amazon. You click on the search thing. Why am I walking you through this? My God. It's called Forward Progress, The Definitive Guide to the Future of College Football. Go buy Bill's book and then leave a review. And that way that'll juice the rankings or stats or however that thing works. Forward Progress. Go listen, go read Bill and listen to him here. All right. We're going to get into a sort of report card. I don't know if we hit you'll have to figure out what we didn't hit. I tried to be as wide ranging as possible, but we will have Bill on periodically throughout the season to kind of check in on things, figure things out, make fun of stuff. Well, he doesn't, look. I'm going to make fun of things. Bill's going to be super nice to everyone, as he always is. All right, this is Numbers and Words with Bill Connolly. Every rustle in the trees, a potential snare. Close my eyes and block my ears. Cut the cord or leave me here. It's been a quarter, Bill Connolly, of the college football season.
Yeah.
And we had a nice discussion before you came on about maybe doing like an Indiana thing or a Missouri thing, and we can do those things. And then the devil on my shoulder said, you know what the people want? They want a really, really depressed walk through the Rust Belt of America. And I, for reasons I don't understand, I started looking at the MAC standings this morning. And we'll start there because sometimes it's fun to be really on brand. We are entering week 5. There are 0 MAC teams with 3 wins. The top in giant finger quotes of the league is a tie for first place between Buffalo and Western Michigan. And before I throw it to you, this is why it's depressing. You can tell me it's not. Buffalo, good team last year. Pete Limbo, positive thing. They lost to Troy. They have UConn coming up, and then they go back to conference play. Toledo, perennial favorites, are 2-2. Understandable Kentucky loss by some measure, but then they lose by a point to Western Michigan. So if I'm narrative building here, what am I building out of? That I don't have anyone to rally around. Bowling Green has a cat. Everybody's really excited about that.
Bowling Green's only lost to, what, Louisville and another...
The Fighting Falcons only lost by 2 touchdowns to Cincinnati, so great.
Yeah,
they've played the keg of nails, and then they beat Liberty, but that Liberty win is looking less impressive by the second.
It's still probably a decent win, but yeah, obviously this isn't the Liberty of 23. Yeah, it's hard because, I always kind of you know, glance at the SP Plus rankings here to know what I'm talking about. And yeah. Toledo is still easily, comfortably the highest rated team, but they just also blew a game they had no business blowing like they do almost every single year. And so now, yeah, you're looking at Ohio and Buffalo next. Ohio, semi-encouraging considering everything they lost last season. Still beat West Virginia. Kind of had, you know, made Ohio State put in a shift. That's probably a good sign. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe that's an encouraging story there. They handled Gardner-Webb. They kind of took the defense kind of took the day off, but they handled Gardner-Webb, and we'll see. So maybe that's good. I mean, they lost so much over these last couple of seasons, and I mean, they're still playing competent ball. So, you know, there's that. Miami, Ohio, I actually think is still pretty decent. They got crushed by two FBS team or Power Conference teams and really had to work hard to give away a game against UNLV last weekend, but I think they're pretty solid.
Okay.
So, but it's tough. Life's hard out there right now.
Here's my problem. If I were to, as you were answering that, I jotted this down without looking at SP Plus, so on an actual physical piece of paper. This is the problem. There's nobody that's even going to come close to getting in the G5 race.
No.
So I wrote down off the top of my head, I don't know how this would correspond to, it's not so much that I try to predict the order in SP Plus, but it was just like, teams that are in SP Plus that would project as the G5 pick this year. So in no order, I wrote North Texas, Memphis, South Florida, James Madison, Tulane, UNLV. Obviously, Boise's not dead. So I'll just throw Boise on there. So how many teams did I just name? That is 7. I would probably name other non-MAC teams before I got to the MAC in double digits. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, Toledo, for whatever reason, still grades out okay. I think the fact that they crushed Western Kentucky and Western Kentucky's otherwise look good, I think that's propping them up a little bit. So okay. they're there in that mix. But if we're talking about genuine playoff candidates, yeah, you're doing Memphis, Navy, North Texas. You're doing Boise State still, and of course UNLV. Maybe Fresno State, actually. They're that physical identity is looking pretty good. You got James Madison and Texas State, at least from the Sun Belt, and Old Dominion is looking spry.
Go, Ricky.
So you've got, kind of out of nowhere. They're another team like Ohio. They lose a bunch of guys every year, but then they, you know, put something competent out there. Yeah, I mean, you're talking about at least those. Mm-hmm. It's tough. It's tough because, I mean, even if you count Toledo in that mix, the next team in that mix is Ohio. They rank 20th among G5 teams in SP Plus. So it's a lot of the bottom right now. They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like 10 of the bottom 12 teams or so in SP Plus.
This is why it's depressing, guys. I'm not trying to do this on purpose. It's just this bad. One thing I'll point out that's not this bad that I'm actually very excited about is the amount of, and I'm double checking the background of one individual before I shout them out, the kind of like weird temporary poverty of the coaching cycle last year.
Yeah.
Forced, there's my finger quotes again, forced a lot of schools to dip down into the FCS. But as of right now, again, a quarter of the football season, obviously the most deceptive of the four quarters of the college football season is the first one. But I want to shout out really fast. Fresno, looking good under an FCS head coach. I know he had a cup of coffee at USC, but he still counts. All right. Matt Entz coming from North Dakota State multiple time. I think he won 2 national championships, maybe 1. At North Dakota State,
and it was somehow he left a very unimpressive impression at North Dakota State because
a weird knock against him, and then when you look up his bio, you're like, well, I guess I don't know. Scott Abel, America's favorite football team, Rice, Trey Lamb, kind of coming from 2 quick fix gigs, didn't really spend a lot of time at Gardner-Webb or East Tennessee, obviously just beating Mike Gundy in Tulsa. And then, you know, FIU beat FAU, so we'll shout it out to Willie Simmons. So yeah, there's a lot of FCS guys that I guess were kind of thought of as like also Rans, or just we had to hire somebody. So this has me, of course, like a sicko, pouring through the FCS standings trying to figure out who the next man up for some other like oft-ignored, you know, program's going to be.
It's so funny because, and I think I've probably said this to you on this thing before, But it is so funny because I love FCS so much, and I get really excited when guys get a chance or when FCS stars move up or coaches move up, because we know those guys can play. But we're also, every time we do that, we're cheering a talent drain from FCS that makes it weaker at the same time. So it's really hard for me to, because I absolutely cheer all these stories, and then it makes me feel bad.
I would push back on that only because, as someone who talks to a lot of agents, the more FCS coaches that get jobs like this, like if you can go from East Tennessee to Tulsa, if you can go from Davidson to Rice and then win, and that's the more people who are going to look at an FCS job, not as a dead end, but as a springboard. And I think you'll have energetic, young, dynamic talent go in there. I guess the one that I didn't include, and it's only because they're at an understandable 500 right now, is Wazoo, which is basically running South Dakota State. They have wins over San Diego State and Idaho. If they were to beat, like, as we record this, Colorado State this weekend, then maybe I would probably throw them in there, just because my barometer for Wazoo and Oregon State right now is like, can you keep your head above water? That's it. And so if they can do that, importing not San Diego State, a much colder place, South Dakota State, then bully for them. The problem is, after Colorado State, they have Ole Miss, Virginia, Toledo. So it's a weird and ugly schedule that doesn't really do them any favors.
Yeah, no, and they, like, after they walloped San Diego State, I'm like, all right, I get it. You know, not that I thought that San Diego State was much, but that made me pretty happy. And then they just lay a giant egg against North Texas. Then they get crushed by what I think is actually a very, very good Washington team.
Yeah.
So, like, it's understandable, but also it feels like all progress just completely fell apart. They're going to have to... Any hope of 6-6 is going to require beating Colorado State this week, beating, probably winning at Oregon State. Well, sorry, sweeping Oregon State this year because of the home and home. And then I don't even know where, I guess maybe beating Louisiana Tech at home as well, because Louisiana Tech's looking kind of spry as well. So that's an even tougher schedule than they probably realized it was at the time, especially with Virginia actually surprising too.
In terms of surprising dirtbags, I think Tech is probably the highest up there for me. That's inexplicable given what was going on in Rustin, man.
No, he made a really good defensive coordinator hire last year, lost that guy immediately, and they're even better defensively this year. Like, they still can't really score, which is still strange when you hire Sonny Cumbie and Tony Franklin now and can't really move the ball, but they've allowed, 57 points in four games. So, like, it's going well.
It's very shocking. All right. This, you're the perfect person for this for obvious reasons, but on the Yahoo show that I do, Andy Staples, I've got him to come around to the idea that the quietest, best team always in America, if there can be such a thing in the Southeastern Conference as your alma mater, you see, like in our pre-show conversation, you agreed with me, you have mighty UMass this weekend. So by the time anyone hears this, they will still, no matter what, be the quietest team of success in the SEC. My working theory on this that I have pitched, and you'll probably know this off the top of your head, is that Missouri almost never occupies the anchor slot on a Saturday. And so, in other words, arguably the top or 1 or 1A game of the 11 o'clock hour, of the 2:30 hour, of the 6 hour, it's never Missouri. It's always something you kind of have to seek to find. And so maybe it's that, because on paper, look, Eli Drinkwitz is, I don't have to tell you, is getting a ton of run out there potentially as like a replacement for Billy Napier at Florida. The industry understands what's going on. Coaches understand what's going on. It's not like they're being slighted by their peers. It's just that when's there going to be a game day segment on Missouri, or when is the big athletic takeout on Missouri? It just feels like it doesn't ever happen.
At the tone, the free preview portion of this episode will conclude. Boop! If you want to unlock the rest of the episode, go to phantomisland.show and sign up for a membership today. Phantom Island is produced by Michael Serber and presented by Homefield. Our theme music by King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard comes from the song Phantom Island from their album of the same name. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back soon.